Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. Many of you know this already, but every fall, I take some time and I go to Rockport to spend some time alone praying and planning out my sermons for the new year. But I also grew up in Rockport, and so I know people in Rockport. And so a couple of evenings out of that time that I'm there, I will get together with some of my longtime friends, and we'll just hang out. We'll spend some time together. Now I do this because while I do enjoy this time of solitude, and it is important for me to have that time alone with the Lord to pray and to plan, but I do this because I don't want to feel completely isolated when I'm there. In other words, I don't want to feel lonely. Now, some of you, you may think a four-day period with zero human interaction, that sounds like heaven. But for me, because I am a people person, I like a healthy balance between some of that time of solitude, but also some interaction with people around me. Now, whether a four-day period of complete isolation seems like heaven to you or not, or whether or not that seems like that would make you feel lonely, the reality is that loneliness is a very real struggle in our society today. As connected as we are through social media, through computers, through smartphones, the reality is that loneliness is actually on the rise. In fact, a few years back, the New York Times came out with an article calling loneliness an epidemic. And they cited a study that revealed that loneliness has the same effect on the human body as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Think about that. Not only can loneliness impact our mental condition, but it can have a very real impact on our physical condition as well. Now, since it is Mother's Day, I want to also note a study that was done just last year in 2024 by Ohio State University that revealed that 71% of mothers struggle with ongoing feelings of loneliness. That's compared to 59% of fathers. But even so, whether we're talking about 71% or 59%, those are really high percentages. And what that tells us is that a majority of people in our culture today, at some point or another, are going to struggle with loneliness. And many might be in the midst of that struggle right now. So we are in the middle of this series right now titled, The Struggle is Real. And as we're going through this series, I'm relating this back to our vision for 2025, the vision that I cast of next for us, where we're asking this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord and what is my next step? Because where you are right now might be right in the midst of a struggle. And so as we're going through this series, we're looking to God's Word so that we can provide biblical answers for real life struggles. And as we think about this struggle of loneliness, I think it's safe to say that the struggle is definitely real. Now, even if loneliness is not something that you are facing right now, there's a very real chance that at some point in time, whether short-term or long-term, at some point in time, you will face this feeling of loneliness. So let's take a look at God's Word this morning and see how God's Word can help us if loneliness is the struggle that we're dealing with. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 142. Psalm 142. There's only seven verses in total. We're going to read the entire psalm, Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. Now, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Psalm chapter 56, and Psalm chapter 56 is described as a miktam of David. And if you remember, scholars really are not sure what that word miktam means. But this psalm, if you have that little description just before verse 1 in your copy of God's Word, this psalm is called a maskil of David. And while scholars are not sure what a miktam is, they do know that this term maskil refers to a contemplation of David. In other words, we're getting to see inside the mind of David. We're getting to see his thoughts. But really, this is something even more than just seeing inside his mind. This is more than just a contemplation. Rather, it's meant to be understood as an instruction as well. And so David is thinking about instructions from the Lord. And so as we read this contemplation of David, we're also to see these as instructions from the Lord for our life. Now, you'll also see in that description just before verse 1 that this psalm was written by David in the cave, when he was in the cave. And the cave that this is likely referring to is the cave of Adullam, which we see in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now, what we see going on in 1 Samuel chapter 22 is that David was on the run from Saul. And Saul wanted to kill David. So David's fleeing. David goes to Gath. And if you remember from last week, David was not welcomed by Gath either. The Philistines in Gath wanted to kill David as well. And so what David does is he flees from Gath and he finds himself a cave, this cave of Adullam. And it's here in this cave that David finds shelter. Now, as we think about this very real struggle of loneliness this morning, I want you to think about how lonely David must have felt. Being on the run, feeling like, or knowing that Saul wanted to kill him, knowing like the Philistines wanted to kill him. David having to flee from everyone and hide in a cave. This truly was a lonely place for David to be. In fact, in verse 4, we're going to see that David says this, "No one cares about me." And I think that's how we feel sometimes, especially when we're in that place of loneliness. We feel like no one cares about me. This was a lonely place to be. So what do we do in times of loneliness? Well, let's look at God's Word right now, and let's find out. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. It says, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I plead aloud to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before Him. I reveal my trouble to Him. Although my spirit is weak within me, You know my way. Along this path I travel, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, no one stands up for me. There is no refuge for me. No one cares about me. I cry to You, Lord. I say, You are my shelter, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from prison so that I can praise Your name. The righteous will gather around me because You deal generously with me." Now, as we look at this passage this morning, I want to give you an overarching truth that's going to guide us through this message. That is, when we are lonely, when the very real struggle that we are in is loneliness, we need to turn to the Lord. How does David start out this psalm? He says, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I plead aloud to the Lord." David begins this psalm with the very thing that we need to do when loneliness is where we find ourselves. We need to turn to the Lord. We are to cry out to Him. We are to plead to Him. Now, as David cries out to the Lord, as he pleads to the Lord, David goes on to say in verse 2, "I pour out my complaint before Him."
Now, when you think of a complaint, you might think of just something that you're unhappy with. Or maybe moms out there, you might think of something that your kids are unhappy with. Like you've been working really hard in the kitchen for hours making a fancy gourmet dinner, and you sit down at the table and your kids complain that it's not mac and cheese, right? Moms understand a thing or two about complaints. David, he says that he offers his complaint to the Lord. He pours out his complaint before the Lord. But when David talks about his complaints, he's not just talking about something that he's unhappy with. He's talking about something deeper. He's talking about bringing his troubles before the Lord. David recognizes that the best place for him to turn to in the midst of his troubles, the best place for him to take his complaints to, the best one for him to cry out to or to plead to is the Lord. So let me just ask you this morning, do you realize that the Lord is the best place to turn? Do you realize that the Lord is the best place to turn? Now, your knee-jerk reaction may be to say, yes, I realize that the Lord is the best place to turn. After all, we're in church this morning, right? But let me just encourage you, before you give that knee-jerk reaction response, let me encourage you, be a bit introspective and truly ask yourself, do I realize that the Lord is the best place to turn? Because in our world today, in our culture today, I think all too often, it's very tempting for us. Instead of turning to the Lord in prayer, what we do is we turn to social media to post. We take our complaints, maybe to our own Facebook page or to Twitter, or maybe we take our complaints to a little page called What's Going On in Stockdale, and we let those complaints be known there. But listen, social media, we know it is a good tool in this world. But hear me, social media will never be as good as the Lord. So let me pause right here and say this. Posting should never replace prayer. Social media will never be able to offer us what we truly need. Social media will never be able to offer us what the Lord can give to us. Listen, if it could, then we would not have such an epidemic of loneliness in our world today. With all of the social media, with all of the ways to connect, we wouldn't have such an epidemic of loneliness. But even as it is, with social media, loneliness is still on the rise. So let me encourage you, don't take it to the world in a post, take it to the Lord in prayer. Posting should never replace prayer. David cried out to the Lord. David took his complaints to the Lord. He took his troubles to the Lord. And so in the midst of David's loneliness, we see the importance of turning to the Lord. And so as we continue to walk through this passage, I want you to see some reasons why we should turn to the Lord. First, when you are struggling with loneliness, you should turn to the Lord because in the Lord we find fellowship. In verse 3, David says, although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. So in our day and age of technology, we have different apps where we are able to track each other. We can keep track of each other's locations. Very helpful for moms worried about their children. You can get on Find My Friends or Life 360. You can track your children. There's a few people other than my family that I keep track of. We keep track of each other's locations just for fun. But on Saturdays, when my wife goes to pick up the groceries, after she's been gone for a while, I'll get on my phone and I'll look for her dot on the map. Because if you know this about our driveway, we've got a gate to our driveway over here. And so I watch her dot on the map, and as she gets closer to home, I'll go out there and I'll open the gate for her so she can just pull right in and we can unload the groceries. So here David is, and it's as if he's thinking about his life like it's a journey. And while David may feel like he is traveling alone, he recognizes the Lord knows his way. And understand, this goes beyond simply the Lord knowing where David's dot is on the map or kind of following him along his journey. It's more than God just knowing the direction that David is heading. What David is saying is that the Lord understands. The Lord understands his way. I want you to hear me. Even if no one else understands, the Lord does. The Lord knows your way. Even if it feels like you're just a dot on the map and no one knows and no one cares, the Lord knows and the Lord cares. Even if no one else understands, the Lord does. Now, the Lord can understand simply because he's God and because he created us. And because of that, that gives him the power and the authority to understand every single thing that we're going through. But I want you to realize when God became flesh, when Jesus came into this world, Jesus lived a human life just like you and I do, and he experienced the same pains and the same difficulties that you and I experience as well. And I want you to know the Lord experienced loneliness in this life. And he experienced it most clearly when he was hanging there on the cross. Think about this. Judas had betrayed him. Peter, one of his close disciples, had denied him. Those crowds that were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, now they're shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." What a lonely place to be on that cross. But even more so, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, the Father poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ in your place and in my place. And Jesus said, as the wrath was being poured out on him, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" I don't think there is a lonelier place to be than on that cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus understands loneliness in a greater way than you and I will ever understand. And so if loneliness is where you find yourself today, listen, you are not alone. Even if no one else understands, the Lord does. And because the Lord understands, we can find fellowship with him. So we should turn to the Lord because in the Lord we find fellowship. Second, when you're struggling with loneliness, you should turn to the Lord because in the Lord we find a fortress. So in verse 5, David says, "You are my shelter." So I'm guessing that your children are like ours in that over the years they have built blanket forts from time to time. So they get the blankets or the sheets out and they move the furniture around and they build this blanket fort. And this may be a place that they can get in to watch a movie, maybe a place that can be just a comfortable place to lay down, read a book, enjoy some time away. Sometimes children, when they build these blanket forts, they make believe that these blanket forts are a safe place for them. Something to hide from the things of this world. And so when they're in this blanket fort, nothing bad, no one bad can get into it. It is a safe place for them. Every once in a while, mom and dad get invited into this safe place. We get invited into the blanket fort. And because we're so much bigger than the kids, we end up destroying the blanket fort as we're crawling in. But remember, David is writing this psalm not from the cover of a blanket fort. David is writing this psalm from the cover of a cave. But what David is recognizing here as he writes this psalm is that while, yes, the cave can provide shelter for him, maybe from the ailments of the world, and maybe can hide him from his enemies, what he's realizing is that in the Lord, he has something greater. In the Lord, he has a true shelter. in the Lord, he has a true fortress. And so as we think about God being our shelter, as we think about God being our fortress, I want you to understand, God isn't just someone that we invite into our safe place. God is our safe place. God isn't just with us, but if we belong to him, then our lives are hidden in his. God is our safe place. And this is a good reminder because as adults, while we may not but make believe that a blanket fort can provide safety for us, security for us, I think as adults, we still make believe sometimes. We make believe that a big bank account can provide security for us. We make believe that a big house can provide safety and security for us. But we're just make-believing. Really, it's just a lie to make us feel safe. Because even if we have a big bank account, even if we have a big house, that still can't protect us from the real internal struggles that we might face in this world. Because even with a big house and a lot of money, we can still feel alone. And so we're reminded that those things are not our safe place. God is our safe place. Which means if you are feeling shaken by the world, if you are feeling like everyone is against you, that no one is on your side, bottom line, if you are feeling the weight of loneliness bearing down on you, listen, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to feel defeated. Rather, you can turn to the Lord and you can find a shelter in Him. You can turn to the Lord and you can find a fortress because God is our safe place. So we should turn to the Lord because in the Lord we find fellowship and in the Lord we find a fortress. Finally, this morning, when you're struggling with loneliness, you should turn to the Lord because in the Lord we find freedom. So in verse 7, David pleads with the Lord saying, "Free me from prison." Now, I personally have never been to prison, but I have been in a couple of prisons because our church, we partner with Forgiven Ministry. And we go into prisons from time to time for something called One Day with God. And what we do is we go in and we minister to kids and to fathers. And we provide this safe opportunity for them to be able to experience a day of relationship with one another. And the kids get to hear their dad say, "I love you," and maybe even, "I'm sorry." But one thing, as I've gone into these prisons, I'm always struck by how secure they are. The tall fences, the razor wires, the locks, all of the guards. No way out, no way in. Now, David, he wasn't in an actual prison. David didn't have fences around him. He didn't have razor wire. David was free to go wherever he wanted to go, but he felt like he was in a prison. He felt trapped in his loneliness. But what did David do as he felt trapped in his loneliness? He cried out to God. He turned to the Lord. And so I would just ask you this morning, do you feel trapped in your loneliness? Do you feel like you are all alone? There's no way for you to get out of that loneliness. No way for you to get out of that prison. Do you feel trapped in your loneliness? I want you to hear me. In the Lord, there is freedom. You don't have to remain trapped in that loneliness any longer. Rather, like David, you can cry out to the Lord and you can find freedom. You can be set free. And I want you to see what David recognizes can happen when he is set free. David says, "Free me from prison so that I can praise your name." In other words, David recognizes that the Lord changes our prison into praise. He changes our sorrows into singing. He changes our worries into worship. The Lord changes our prison into praise. And so if you are here today and you would say you feel trapped in loneliness, you feel like you are in that prison, let me encourage you, turn to the Lord that today you might be set free, that your heart's sorrow today might be changed into singing. The struggle of loneliness is definitely real. And if you're going through that today, let me just remind you, turn to the Lord. In the Lord we find fellowship, in the Lord we find a fortress, and in the Lord we find freedom. And the greatest freedom that we will ever find, the greatest freedom that we will ever experience in the Lord is freedom from our sins. That is a prison in and of itself, to be bound in our sins, to be shackled by that shame. But when we turn to the Lord, we find freedom. This morning we celebrated four who have found freedom in the Lord. Maybe you need to find freedom today as you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing that song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, that's me, I am still in that prison, not just of loneliness, but I'm in that prison of my sin and shame, but today I'm ready to turn to Jesus. Today I'm ready to be set free. If that's you, as we sing, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be the day of your salvation. Maybe you're here, though, and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. I know Jesus is my Lord, but I still need to make it public, just like those four did this morning. If that's you, then I would encourage you to respond as well. Let's talk, let's pray, and today we can make that commitment for baptism together. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers. If God's calling you to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that the Lord is doing in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.